Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
This is Onique.
And there's a lot in store this week with the Outlaws of Thunder Junction. It's something I've been looking forward to for a while. Something I've been alluding to for the last couple episodes. Without further ado, we're going to start with Card of the Week, like we do every week. Onique, you've got Card of the Week.
You thought he was dead or disappeared or just gone, but he is back. Chase Reawakened. For 2 blue mana, he's a 3 loyalty planeswalker.
I mean, was he really dead, though? You know?
Well, people didn't really know with the story. The way March of the Machine left off, he was completed by Vraska.
Yeah, completed. And that's then, what I thought. I thought he was dead.
Yeah, but also with Elesh Norn, like when Karn killed Elesh Norn, the thing literally said that the story literally said that Elesh Norn was reduced to a red smear. And it was also assumed that all Phyrexians became inert. So anything that was Phyrexian is just shut down, non-operational, out of order, you know, maintenance required. But we didn't get any kind of confirmation of Jace whatsoever. We just thought he just maybe planeswalked away or whatever he could do or something.
Yeah.
But he is back. He
reawakened. Actually, he's reawakened.
Yes, reawakened. He was actually in the story this entire time. I'll get to the lore in a moment. He's got 4 abilities. The static one is not really much of an ability. You can't cast this spell during your first, second, or third turns of the game. So he's a turn 4 plus planeswalker, but still costs 2 blue mana. Plus 1, draw a card, then discard a card. Another plus 1, you may exile a non-land card with mana value 3 or less from your hand. If you do, it becomes plotted. Minus 6, until end of turn, whenever you cast a spell, copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy.
Nice. I like that ultimate. What does plotted mean?
Plot, we'll get into the mechanics as well, but plot is basically pay now, cast later.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
I'll get more in depth in it in a moment. But in the story, spoiler alert at this point, we know that Ashiok is the one who hired Oko, and Oko recruited all the baddies of Thunder Junction because Ashiok knew there was a vault on Thunder Junction, the Fomori vault or whatever. Like, there's a bunch of stuff in there. I don't know. Oko was interested. He wanted to break in, so he recruited Rakdos, Vraska, Tiny Bones, Annie Flash, and I think that's 4 of them. So they eventually get into the vault. They break it open or whatever they do. Ashiok goes in the vault, takes this little Furby Digimon thing, which is the character is called Loot, which is absolutely adorable. I want a plushie of it.
Oh, yeah.
So then as, I don't know if he does it before or after, but as he acquires this little creature named Loot, Ashiok then pretty much changes or reveals himself to be Jace this entire time.
That's cute.
So Ashiok wasn't really in Thunder Junction. It was actually Jace the whole time. I don't know, maybe they were communicating telepathically to each other, like, hey, get me out of here or something. I'm not so sure on that part just yet, but Jace, Vraska, and Loot, this little dude, planeswalked or open path teleported away to what we assume is going to be Bloomburrow.
Yeah, you can only play this guy like on your turn 0 or turn 4, right, and beyond. And for 2 mana, that's not bad. And what are you going to officially do, though? You know, Loot?
Well, I mean, yes, Loot as in, like, drawing this card, not Loot as in the character.
No, yeah. With, like, draw a card, discard a card, you know, just the plus 1 to get to the, hey, I'm going to copy this, too, later. Because you're probably already copying anyway.
Well, I mean, you can with blue, but the idea is just to plot some stuff from your hand that normally doesn't have plot.
Oh, yeah, that's a plus 1 in this case, not a minus.
Yeah, they're both plus 1s. They're 2 plus 1 abilities.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. Even so in standard, right? Something,
yeah. Like, you may exile non card with mana value 3 or less from your hand. If you do, it becomes plotted. Like, you are not paying any kind of plot cost.
Or less.
So okay, it's a bit of a mana It saves you on mana. Even though it's a cheap, it's only something that's cheap, it does save you on mana.
I like the fact it's hard to blue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not even hinting towards, hey, you know, they got the little one colorless, you can splash it with something else. Or it could go in a two color deck. Like, is it? I can see this being very strong. And is it? There's more cards we're going to talk about later with Outlaws, but this is your card of the week this week. I love it, dude. I really love it. I mean, I don't know what formats would like it besides Standard, though.
I'm not sure. I mean, it might be you just know? A combo piece. People are talking about if you have Leyline of Anticipation, all cards have flash.
Mm-hmm.
Could you cast this on your opponent's turn?
All four cards have flash, yeah.
Could, I mean, within the first, second, and third turns. Like it says, you can't cast a spell during your first, second, third turns. So mm-hmm. I'm also sure on the ruling if you can cast it on your opponent's turn.
And that's the way I thought about it, too, when you said it was going to be the card of the week. I'm like, I wonder if there's anything that can cheat it out on turn one, two, or three. And there you go. You just said it on your opponent's turn.
Yeah, I just don't know if that works as intended, or not as intended, but if it works that way.
Your first, second, or third turns. Notice it doesn't say turn.
Well, right, but because it's listing three things. That's why turns is plural. But what I'm looking at is the word your.
Mm-hmm. I know. I see that your. I see it. I mean, I'm actually looking at it as some words are highlighted or even italic, you know, underneath. It's like, this is a very interesting card. I can't wait to play with it. And I don't proxy before cards come out. You know, I actually wait till I grab them or buy them or pull them, you know. I can't wait to play with this one, dude. This set is just amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the set, and we'll dig right into it in just a moment.
Yep, and before we do, let's go ahead and head over to one of my favorite segments, Movers and Shakers, powered by MTGStocks.com. You know, Onique, I love it when it's a surprise, because I did not look at any of these this week before the taping of the show.
Oh, I just looked at it maybe like 15 minutes before we hopped on.
Did you?
Yeah.
Kroxa, Titan of Death's Hunger, $2.88. It's moving down slowly. Pretty this relatively is the, new version, yeah.
That's the Multiverse Legends version, so the bonus sheet from Dominaria United.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm... How much? Like, $3?
Mm-hmm.
I think at its peak... Besides the debut price, I think. Well, actually, I'm looking at the borderless version, so that's always a fancy version. But at its peak, this version was like 90 something, and then it started slowly going down. It was stable at like $33-$35. I think I picked up my copy for like 25. But this was this was like almost 2 years ago.
Sure, yeah.
So for a card to go down in price in 2 years, that's kind of expected. That's just.
A lot of these cards, I mean, 31 years, right? And a lot of these cards, man, are like lost, forgotten gems. Like this one right here, Kira, Great Glass Spinner, $4.49, also moving down. And I believe our last cheap pickup, pardon for my mispronunciation, Vexilus Praetor, $4.99, it's moving up. Now, there's interesting data on that one, because Warhammer 40,000 is really not that old, in my opinion, you know? But it is this week's premium penny stock feature card, and that's interesting. Now, let's start off with number three, right? A lot of combos going off. People play testing with this new stuff, but number three, Valky, God of Lies, $9.97. It's up 97%, which is kind of funny because remember last week's episode?
Yeah, that's what I saw. That's what I saw too. I'm like, this looks familiar.
Yeah,
the history makes sense for the numbers so aligned, though.
Yeah. For two mana, let's see here. Yeah, for two mana, I remember this guy. And then one of my friends, Ed, he plays Rakdos. He likes playing mono black. He's been on the podcast actually, and. This always reminds me, like I said a minute ago, Lost Gems. This right here is a very powerful card. Not just because it's a mythic rare, but look what it does. You know? What was it? Kallheim? Yeah, Kallheim.
Yeah. So
number one, when he enters the battlefield, each opponent reveals their hand. And for each opponent, now if you think commander, right? Exile a creature card. They reveal this way. until he leaves the battlefield. Now, one-on-one, this was so powerful, dude, especially in standard. And for the power level of two, it was like their black was coming out strong. They were using that one artifact, too. Like, it can keep coming back and forth. Like, you're going to lose life, or you're going to discard a card, or you're going to, you know what I'm saying? This right here is, at any rate, the second ability, X. Choose a creature card, exile with this, and this guy becomes a copy of that card. So I remember it also had a backside, too. Let me see. Yeah. The Tobalt Planeswalker. And that's when they had the questioning of rulings on the backside and the front side being two different, completely different casting costs or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So how would things work? And I remember this being a stink all over Twitter, all over content creation. And wow, they have a secret lair version of this, Monique? They sure do. Now, what's the price on that guy at? That guy is about $10.
Secret, what the secret lair version looked like. Oh, wait, yeah. Well. Oh, from cute to brute.
That's cute.
Yeah, well, I guess, literally. I remember Valky specifically as one of the cards that changed how Cascade works. Because at the time, when you Cascade, you know, let's say Blood Braid Elf, you know, the three mana, haste, Cascade. So mm-hmm. when you Cascade, you find something cheaper. Valky got Elias, qualifies, or meets that criteria, rather. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it only checked when you find the card. It did not check again when you cast it. So when you go to cast Valky, you can choose, since it's a mortal card, the front side or the back side.
Right, right.
And then you would choose a back side, of course, Tibalt, the 7-mana Planeswalker.
Yep.
And you can cast it off of Cascade.
Yeah.
That broke Modern for a moment.
Yeah.
Or even, not even Modern. Well, yeah, I don't know if there's any Cascade cards in Pioneer, but then there's other weird cards that did
that. Well, there definitely is now with Discover, you know.
Yeah, but then they change. But Discover is fixed in that, already fixed to way the Cascade it works now, to where it checks when you find the card and mm-hmm. it checks again when you cast it.
Oh, yeah. The number two is one that I don't even remember, but there's a lot of talk of vampires lately, especially like Rakdos vampires winning a lot of tournaments. I mean, this one right here, number two, is a white one. Elenda's Hierophant.
Yeah, I think it's Hierophant.
Hierophant. It could be the H is silent, you know. $11.15. It's up an astounding 181%. That is nothing to snarl at, dude. Now, last week we talked about a card called Charismatic Conqueror, right? A white vampire that wants you to create tokens for you. But there's similarities with this one. It's also a vampire that slots nicely into most vampire decks, which I just alluded to a moment ago. And look at the deck that she's currently being played at. There's footnotes here. Obviously, you see Clavlano, First of the Blessed, which is the commander of the Blood Rites precon. Now, Blood Rites is from what I think Lost Caverns of Ixalan. I think so.
I mean, I think.
Or
Blood Rites, the way this is. Blood Rites is the name of the commander deck.
Maybe Murders at Karloff? No, I don't think it was Murders at Karloff. I think it was Ixalan. But regardless, yeah. It's one of the very strong decks that are selling at the local game store. I know I work at one, right? And then the other one was the Revenant Recon, I think it's called. Those things sell so quick, dude. We keep reordering them as much as we can. And but there's another footnote here. It may be a good upgrade to this upcoming deck, Most Wanted Precon, you know, from Outlaws. Just saying. There's a Olivia Opulent Outlaw. Let me see here. I'll pull that card up. I got a highlight over it. Hang my cursor over it. Which is another vampire, assassin, flying lifelink. So it is Mardu. Red, one colorless, red, white, black. So it's one and then Mardu. Flying lifelink, and then whenever one or more outlaws you control deal combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. Pay three colorless, sacrifice two treasures, put 2/1/1 counters on each creature you control. You can only do it as a sorcery on a 3/3 body. Olivia is very powerful. At any rate, number one this week. Did I talk about? Yeah, I did. Okay, cool. Number one this week, and because we got a lot of cards to talk about besides Card of the Week and Movers and Shakers, right? Number one, Carnage Interpreter, $18.73. And the reason why it's number one this week, it's up 827%.
This was like almost a bulk rare in the Clue edition of Murders at Barloff Manor.
Yep, and how many people picked it up?
I don't know. I think I saw it for sale at my LGS, but it's a Commander product, so I didn't really have any interest in it. But I have seen some people talking about this card specifically a while ago as possible cube inclusions. It's a 3/3 Devil Detective, which is an interesting combination of creature types. The art looks like the dude is just licking blood and it's like, yep, yeah, something died here.
Yep.
Three mana cost total, so it's one and then two Rakdos Hybrid. When Carnage Interpreter enters the battlefield, discard your hand, then investigate four times. As long as you have one or fewer cards in your hand, Carnage Interpreter gets +2/+2 and has menace. It leaves behind four artifacts on the battlefield. And if you're playing any kind of sacrifice outlet, you're basically getting five permanents for one single card. Plus, if you are discarding your hand, it is immediately a 5/5 menace for three mana. That's quite a package.
Now, there's a side note here, too, from the editor here at mtgstocks.com. The Clue edition does not seem to have sold very well compared to other Universes Beyond sets and other product release around that time. And you know what I'm talking about, right? Murders. And this is where the supply and demand problem comes in. I totally agree. I'm working in a local game store, and I practically got to discount these things to about what I paid for them just to sell them. And people still don't want them. You know what I'm saying? I gotta explain.
How much is it at your place, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, you don't have to ask. You don't have to bother with that at all, bud. I keep everything out in the open because I'm a public figure, you know. So basically, we tried selling them at 60, and then I pulled them down to 50. I've got them down to 40.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, they're still not selling, dude. Some nights I'll be like 35, and everybody just goes, puts their hand there, you know? and the new guy, I'm training this new guy for another location, and I'm like, look, man, you know, I want you to come up with the idea, like, hey guys, I just thought of this, and you know, I know it's gonna fail, but hopefully somebody will buy it, right? Like, yeah, the guy's new, and let's see what happens, right? And so then he puts up in here, guys, I just thought about this, man, $35. I come back and I'm like, what happened, man? He goes, man, two people looked at me, and a bunch of other people just ignored me. I'm like, all right, we got to think of something else, and I did, you know. I threw together a tournament, and everybody's like, yeah, count me in. People stand in line with their credit cards in their hand waiting to pay for that tournament, you know? And so I'm just training people, you know, I was training that guy. But the Clue edition, you got to explain it to people. You know, it's like a jumpstart set. Once you open that set, you know, you lose that experience, but you can still keep it in the box and play the game because they give you so much paperwork. They give you this notebook, like from a Yahtzee game. And on each piece of paper, you can, I think, Onik, you can play like four games. And then you look at the notebook and you're like, they must give you hundreds of pieces of papers, you know? you can probably literally at least play 33 games with four people. I'm just saying. You can easily get that many games in. Yeah. And my guess, because I haven't played it, I haven't seen any YouTube videos on it, even though I want to, real life comes into play a lot, you know? And I'm just reading the product. And I'm looking at people who buy it and stuff. And I'm like, what you do is you're playing Clue. And if you get knocked out of the Magic game, you can't solve the case, you know. But even with selling it like that, it's like it comes with what I think a Shockland or something.
I think so.
You know, and that right there is the value.
That is right a there, random Shockland, so.
Yeah, it's correct. It's going to be random. But that right there is value. You're going to get at least what you paid for. A whole bunch of Magic packs that are exclusive with cards that you can't get from other sets. We stocked up on Jumpstart 2022. Everybody's going for the rat, not just me, dude. And they're going to keep coming in until they get that rat, and they'll stop buying that. But I'm not stopping until I get it. Another guy I know is not stopping until he gets it. I'm going on and on. We've got other cards we got to talk about, but Let's see here. You know, Onik, we normally take a break. I mean, we're going to go right into it, dude. You've got cards. I've got cards. Now, I've got
mechanics, too.
Yeah, we don't have physical cards. Let's start off with mechanics, because we're going to be talking about cards. We don't know what we're talking about unless we go over the mechanics first.
Yeah, so there's, I would say, about six mechanics in this set. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, about six. Plot, we'll get into that since Jace has plot. Plot is a mixture of foretell and suspend. Plot means that you pay a cost in advance, and it counts as a special action. So you're basically paying like the mana cost of the card, but it's just a plot cost. And when you do, it goes to exile face up. Then on a later turn, you can cast a card without paying a mana cost. You can only do the act of plotting as a sorcery. So
as you're talking about this, I can imagine the plot card. You know what I'm saying? Like a grave or something. You know, in the desert, you know, like cowboy style.
So plot means, so you can, you're not casting anything. It's not an activated or triggered ability. You're just putting it kind of on an exile. And then later on, whenever you're ready to cast it, you can cast it at a later turn. So you are sort of taking a turn off to set something up later on. And then on that later on turn, you can cast a plot spell, and then without spending any mana on it, then you can cast another spell if you want. You can double up. You can plan ahead. That's basically what you're doing. You're plotting for something big.
Yeah, I'm thinking like they have the adventure zone, like the adventure card when they're going on an adventure. I'm just thinking you could put it on the plot, you know.
Yes, there actually is a plot token card.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. There is. Yeah.
There is. I'll send you the image of it a little bit later.
Cool.
Spree. Spree is a modal mechanic found on instants and sorceries that have a mana cost to it. And then if you look in the top right corner of the mana cost, it also has a little plus sign, which means it will cost more than just whatever the mana cost is. All Spree cards will have two or three modes. There might be one with four, I'm not sure. And each mode has an additional cost.
I did see quite a lot of Spree. I like that.
Yeah, so you can choose one mode, two modes, all three modes. You can mix and match, do whatever you want, but you have to choose at least one mode. Yeah. You can't.
It's free, right?
No, it's not free.
Oh.
Because
so one mode cost, one mode cost. Okay.
Yeah, so like for so we'll get into a bit more examples with cards, but like a card with Spree could cost like one red mana. And then it has like two or three abilities that, like, if you want to, you know, discard a card to draw a card, it costs one more mana. If you want to destroy an artifact, it costs two more mana. But deal some damage to a creature to cost, you know, one and a red more mana. All of these, you can add them all up to have one card that has multiple effects for a high cost, or you can cast it earlier for just one effect.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like multi-kicker to the max, just how much you want to put into it.
Yeah, sort of like that.
Yeah.
It's the kicker of all kickers.
The kicker of all kickers, yeah. They can layer and stack, yeah.
Mount and saddle. These go hand in hand. This is pretty similar to vehicles and crew. Creatures will have the creature type of mount. By itself, that doesn't really mean anything. I believe all of those creatures that have the mount type also have an ability called saddle. You can ignore this if you like. You can still attack with the creature as usual. But if you saddle the creature, you are tapping creatures or other creatures with power greater than or equal to the saddle cost. So just like crewing vehicles. And then when you attack with that saddled creature, it has an extra ability or two. So like you can have like a 3/3 creature that attacks as normal, but if it's saddled, then it has vigilance and lifelink as well, or something like that. Or like, you know, when it attacks and deals damage, if it was saddled, your opponent discards a card. Something to that effect. These are mostly seen in white and blue creatures. I'm sorry, white and green creatures, but I think all colors have mounts and saddles. Outlaws. This is like the namesake of the set. Outlaws is just a grouping of creature types. Assassin, mercenary, pirate, rogue, warlock. All five of them. It's not like party to where you have to have one of each to have a full party or whatever. Certain cards, especially in the Rakdos colors, just care if you have an assassin in play. Like assassins you control get +1/+0. Or whenever assassin enters the battlefield, you can, you know, opponent loses a life or things like that.
Right.
Crime. We've talked about this a bit last week.
Yeah.
You've probably heard it by now. Crime is just whenever you target anything of your opponent's, your opponent's permanents, anything in the graveyard or things that you control on the stack or just to your opponent directly.
Mm.
That's considered committing a crime. That by itself doesn't matter, but plenty of cards will care if you commit a crime. And the very last one, it's kind of a sub-theme, deserts. Lands have deserts as a desert type, and some cards, mostly in green, care if you have a desert. Like it costs one less to cast if you control a desert, or search your library for a basic land or desert card to put on a battlefield tap or things like that.
Now, I do want to remind the limited players, the people that like to draft, you know, the people like do pre-cons or not pre-cons, pre-releases, that you're going to want to watch your triggers, and there's going to be a lot of triggers, and there's going to be a lot of things that manipulate other things, so you want to pay attention to that going into those limited events. There's going to be a lot to, you know, keep in mind that, you know, what these keywords do and stuff like that, so it's just a lot to take in effect when you're building your deck, and you don't really have much time to do that when you do, you know. So it's a lot to
take. Yeah, I mean, the best homework you can do is just read all the cards ahead of time for this pre-release, mm-hmm. for any pre-release. Just try to read, understand the mechanics and try to read all the cards just once.
Or even go through,
memorize it.
Spoilers on the internet or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I mean, Scryfall.com, you don't have to memorize them. Just read it once ahead of time. And then when it comes to actual game time, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember this card. And then you move on to the next. That'll save you a lot of time and anxiety.
You have a list of cards, from what I hear, that's like 30 deep or something. 30. I have
quite a list.
Yeah. I've got a list too, dude. It's not quite as deep as yours, but I think mine are, I'm checking my notes here, mine are separated into categories, right? So I think what I should do, because I think I have less cards than you, is I think I should start and name the categories, because you'll see there's a pattern, right?
Okay. And
you'll probably be like, oh, whoa, at the end, and be like, what about this? What about that? And it's like, I don't know. I thought I covered it, right? So let's start with let's start with white. I only picked out two white cards.
Okay.
All right. And how many did you pick out?
I don't have it in color order, but I could.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I think I picked out 5 or 6 white cards.
Okay. Why don't you tell the listeners what you picked out first, and then I'll go over my two. And if you name off any of the pick I picked, then I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's the one I picked. Go ahead.
Let's go with the white counterspell.
Sure. What's it called?
Aven Interrupter.
I did not pick that one.
One white for a 2/2 bird rogue with flying and flash.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
When Aven Interrupter enters the battlefield, exile target spell. It becomes plotted.
Mm-hmm.
Spells your opponent casts from graveyards or from exile cost 2 more to cast. I did call this a counterspell. While it's not specifically a counterspell, sure, it'll function very similar to one.
Right.
In response to you casting whatever your spell, I'm going to cast my Aven Interrupter. It's an interrupt. And your spell goes in exile plotted. You can cast it for free, quote unquote, later on, but it's going to cost another 2 more mana to cast.
Yeah.
This is basically, like I said, it's basically a white counterspell that I think it fits nicely into the color pie that white's been creating for itself, to where it's like a taxing effect, and it's stretching out a little bit more in how it taxes other cards. I'm 99% sure this card's going to make it in my cube. I really like this card.
All right.
Oh, you want me to go for my other one too?
Uh-huh.
Let's go with this one. Dust Animus.
Not one I picked.
2/3 flyer for 2 mana. That by itself is already above rate. Because if you think of your just your common Windrake, which is like a two mana, sorry, a 3-mana 2/2 flyer, this is already 2 mana for 2/3 flyer. It has plot. If you control 5 or more untapped lands, Dust Animus enters the battlefield with 2++ counters and a lifelink counter on it. So early in the game, this is a 2-mana 2/3 flyer. Let's say it's above rate. Or later in the game, if it's plotted, you don't have to plot this card for you to gain advantage of this bonus. But plotting helps to where if you cast it on your turn 5, assuming you have 5 lands already, let this be the first spell you cast. Your lands are still untapped. It'll enter, trigger. Actually, it says if. It's a replacement effect, so it's not a triggered ability. So when you cast it, it'll enter the battlefield automatically as a 4/5 flying lifelink for 2 mana.
That's
pretty nice.
Not bad.
How many more cards am I listing off?
You said you had 5, so what, 3 more?
Oh, okay, sure. I'll go one more from the main set.
Okay.
I think this is my favorite art in the set period. And this is actually a reprint, but I didn't even realize. Archangel of Tides.
Not one I picked. Wow.
One okay. white. So 4 mana for 3/5 flyer.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually reprinted from, I think, Magic Origins.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it is. So this is a mythic. Flying, as long as Archangel of Tides is untapped, creatures can't attack you or planeswalkers you control unless the controller pays 1 for each of those creatures.
Nice.
And as long as Archangel of Tides is attacking, creatures can't block unless the controller pays 1 for each of those creatures.
Nice.
So it's a ghostly prison if she's untapped, and a sort of ghostly prison.
Yeah,
I don't know how to describe it, but
yeah, it's definitely tax. You know, I like it.
Yes, yeah, it's a taxing effect. I mean, just like Aven Interrupter is a taxing effect as well, and this one taxes creatures whether to attack or to block.
Like, now, what I've noticed too is these ones that have Spree on them have this little symbol. Next to the mana cost, you know.
Yep.
So the first card I picked was called Final Showdown.
Oh, yes.
It's an instant for 1 white mana, and it's got Spree. So 1 white mana, right? You know you're doing that, and Spree, choose 1 or more additional costs. And we talked about that earlier. You can do just 1 of these, 2 of these, 3 of these.
Oh. The goal is to, if you can, max out, especially on this card.
Yeah. 1 mana more. Colorless, right? All creatures lose all abilities until the end of the turn, and you're doing this at instant speed. You can do aura +1, choose a creature you control, it gains indestructible until the end of the turn, or pay 3 colorless and 2 white more and destroy all creatures. This is a Wrath of God at instant speed. Instant speed, baby. And the other one I picked, Onig, is called High Noon.
Yeah.
All right, it's 1 white mana. It's a 1 colorless enchantment. Each player can't cast more than 1 spell each turn. That's very ignorant. I love cards that are ignorant.
Oh, yeah, you like that word too.
Yeah, and 1 red and 4 others sacrifice High Noon. It deals 5 damage to any target. I love those words, and words mean everything in this game.
Yes.
I'm sure you picked out just a few blue, right? How many did you pick out on blue?
Blue, so... Mm-hmm. Kind of scrolling through 2, 3.
Oh, nice.
So I'll go with 3 Steps Ahead.
3 Steps Ahead, okay.
Which is another Spree card.
Not one I picked.
So initial casting cost is 1 blue mana. Then for an additional 1 and a blue, you can counter target spell, which just makes this a cancel. Or you could pay 3 additional mana to create a token that's a copy of target artifact creature you control.
Yeah, I saw that one here.
And or you could pay additional 2 mana to draw 2 cards, then discard a card.
Yeah, I saw that card. I didn't pick it for sure.
Choosing just 1 mode on most Spree cards is like average.
Yeah, you're going to get there, right?
Yeah, but imagine... Okay, well, let me do the math. What's 6? So imagine spending 6 blue, so 8 mana... And then you have 1 giant card that says counter-target spell, then you make a copy of something, then you draw 2 cards and discard a card.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of mana, though.
That's a lot of effects.
That's a lot of mana. I might just not do one of those three, you know? I mean, the draw two cards, probably. I mean, I know how important it is because I'm a blue player. What other cards you pick?
I think this one's fun. Where is it? Archmage's Newt.
That is the first one that I picked. Go ahead.
All right, go for it. You read this one.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to read it? Okay. All right. So, it's a creature. It's a salamander mount.
That already is lovely. Salamander mount.
Yeah. One blue, one other, and it's a 2/2 body. So that's really good, right? It does have saddle 3. And whenever it deals combat damage to a player, target instant or sorcery card in your graveyard gains flashback until the end of turn. The flashback cost is equal to its mana cost.
Pause right there. So
now, it's got a period, right? But there's more, but I'm stopping.
So,
go ahead.
So that part you just read off, gains flashback, that happens no matter what.
Snapcaster, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, go ahead, reading.
Yeah, because there's a period and it says that card gains flashback 0 until the end of the turn. Instead, if this card is saddled.
Yeah. Wow. And that's what I meant by earlier, that where like it doesn't affect, but if saddled, it does an extra bonus effect.
Yeah, if you pay 3 more somehow.
Imagine flashback of 0 mana for any
That's okay, but I think that Snapcaster Mage is fine already. You know, I think this sounds good on paper. You know, it is one that I picked, and I like to play around with it, right? Go ahead.
I mean, I picked this one too, but I think, for Snapcaster, it does give Snapcaster vibes. But don't forget, Snapcaster, you still have to cast the spell.
Yeah.
And it has flash, so in that sense, it's a bit better.
Right.
But Newt, you have to make space for it. You have to make sure combat's clear. You can see that it's saddled and it's coming at you. But if it can connect, I mean, if you can try to loot something, draw and discard,
make it unblockable.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in standard. I think a standard when new cards are getting printed, right? It's a standard legal set. And you probably have one more, right?
Yeah. We mentioned this card a while ago, Duelist of the Mind. This is world champion Nathan Stoyer.
Yes, yes.
So one in a blue for a star 3 flying vigilance human advisor. Duelist of the Mind's power is equal to the number of cards you've drawn this turn. And then whenever you commit a crime, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. This ability triggers once each turn.
Mm-hmm.
So if you commit a crime, you have drawn your 2 cards this turn, one from your turn and one from Duelist of the Mind. So it's already 2/3 flying vigilance. It's nice. I'm not saying this card is like busted strong,
right?
But I think it has good potential to hit hard kind of out of nowhere.
It's actually something I passed up, dude. That was probably all the blue cards you picked, right?
Yes.
Now, Uncle John, now sit down and put your seatbelt on. I put down 6 cards. And this is
blue, of course.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Are there even 6 blue cards? Okay, there are barely 6 blue cards.
So, hold on, buddy. Archmage's Newt, right? We both agree that's a good card, right?
Yes.
I did pass up the Duelist of the Mind, but I did not pass up Double Down. Double Down is 1 blue, 3 other enchantment. Whenever you cast an outlaw spell, copy that spell.
That's simple.
Yeah, it is, but at first I'm like, is it a waste of turn? No, it's not a waste of turn, right? Assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, and warlocks are outlaws.
That's sick, if you cast Double Down on, so it's 4 mana. So if you cast it on turn 4, then technically if you've already got control,
dude, this is not a waste of a turn.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just casting this and passing a turn feels like a waste of turn, but enchantments are generally more challenging to get rid of. So next turn, if you cast, pirates all over the place, rogues are all over the place.
I think that this is not a turn 4 spell. I think this is like a turn 6 spell, and you're still keeping mana open, you know? Another one I picked was called Fleeting Reflection. Do you know about this one? It's an uncommon. I know we talked about let's keep the uncommons and commons for next week or whatever. But I can't pass this one up, Onique. It's 1 blue, 1 other instant. Target creature you control gains hexproof until the end of the turn. Untap that creature until the end of the turn. It becomes a copy of up to another other target creature. It can be your opponent's, yours, whatever. I love creatures that when they enter the battlefield, right? Target creature you control gains hexproof until the end of the turn. Untap that creature. Until the end of the turn, it becomes a copy of another target creature. Boom. I just love effects. I love effects that are just ignorant. The key to the vault. This guy's rare. He's a legendary artifact equipment. And if I told you, I'm sure I told you before, I'm playing that artifact, legendary artifact equipment deck. This is blue. Yeah, one blue, one other. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, look at that many cards from the top of your library. You may exile a non-land card from among them, put the rest in the bottom of your library back in random order. You may cast the exile card without paying its mana cost. Equip one blue, two other. That's sick, bro. It's sick. Again, we talked about just making unblockable, right? If it deals combat damage to a player, look at that many cards. Exile one of them. Cast it for free. Okay. Fantastic.
Well, you can even just put this one on a flying creature. So you don't have to look for unblockable. You could just do a little bit of evasive.
I love it, dude. I love it. Phantasm Interference. It's one blue. One of the spree cards we talked about earlier. So you pay three extra. Create a 2/2 white spirit creature token with flying. And the other one is you pay one extra. Counter target spell unless its controller pays two.
This, I think, might be a limited all-star.
A limited all-star?
I think this is going to be really good in drafting a sealed.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's definitely good in certain formats.
Yeah.
There's only one more card that I picked for this show, and it's called Shifting Grift. It's two blue. Again, one of those spree cards. It almost didn't make my list, but because it's sorcery speed. But hear this out, dude. Hear this out. You pay two colorless extra. Exchange control of two target creatures. You pay one extra. Exchange control of two target artifacts. You pay one extra. Exchange control of two target enchantments.
Lots of swapping.
Yeah, lots of swapping, dude. Like, it's just, it's going to remind you, like, TV shows going through my head when I'm playing. I mean, when I look at the picture of the card, it reminds me of so many different TV shows. But those are the blue cards I picked. I know it's a lot of them. And believe it or not, on some of the categories, I know we said don't make categories, but I think there was like green cards and multicolored cards didn't even make it to my list.
We'll just keep going at this rate.
What did you pick for the black?
Black?
Yeah.
I have two cards.
I picked one card. Yeah, go ahead. What did you get?
Caustic Bronco.
Okay.
This is a snake horse mount. This is kind of wild. One and a black for 2/2 abomination of a creature type. Saddle 3. Whenever Caustic Bronco attacks, reveal the top card of your library and put it into your hand. You lose life equal to the card's mana value if Caustic Bronco wasn't saddled. So that right there is a bit of a Dark Confident effect. However, if it was saddled, your opponents lose the life instead of you. So if you reveal a 4-mana cost card on top of your library, if Caustic Bronco is not saddled, you lose a life. But if it is saddled, they lose a life.
Not bad.
You know how much of an insult that is to, like, you draw the card and they lose a life?
I mean, I'll agree with you. I like it, right? It's not bad.
Saddle 3 is a high cost, but it's a strong effect if it just on attack. You don't have to, like, do damage to a player. And the other card that I picked, Tiny Bones.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. That's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
Is that yours or no?
No, that's not mine. No, I only picked one, and neither one of them was it. That's funny.
So Tiny Bones of Pickpocket, one black mana for 1/1 Death Touch. Skeleton Rogue. Legendary creature, of course. Death Touch. I think I said that already. Mm-hmm. Whenever Tiny Bones deals combat damage to a player, you may cast target non-land permanent from that player's graveyard, and mana of any type may be spent to cast a spell. Turn one, I mean, you're probably not going to get anything out of the graveyard, and you probably don't really want to block. Well, I mean, they might block early with, like, another 1/1 or something and just trade.
Depends. You know, like a CEDH, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, but later on, it's either going to trade with a creature or you're going to get a spell back from the graveyard.
Yeah.
Which I think it has some potential there.
I love it. I hope I pull one in life. I really do.
What you got for black?
Are you ready for this? I'm going to murder the name. I know it. Insatiable Avarice. Yeah. One black sorcery speed. Again, almost didn't make it to my list. I'm thinking earlier when I told you, some of these cards, dude, didn't even make it to my list, right? Like certain colors. It's funny. So you can pay two extra because it only costs one black. Sorcery speed. Search your library for a card and then shuffle it and put it on top, which is meh, right? But if you combine it with the second and only other ability on this card, two more black, target player draws three cards and lose three life. I love that, dude. And you would think it would have to be rare at this point in the game of Magic the Gathering because we've already got like Sign and Blood, you know?
Yeah. I mean, for just the last one alone, you're looking at triple black, one from the initial cost and then two from the mode.
Yeah, and but again, the extra plus two colorless, search your library for a card and put it on top. It's not bad, you know?
So for you're paying five what? Mana, you're basically tutoring for a card to your hand, plus drawing two other cards, and then losing three life.
And you choose the mode, so I'm going to do that first. Yeah. And that's going to be one of the three cards I draw. See?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, for all spree cards,
yeah.
If you just assuming you choose all modes, or even just two modes, you always go by the order of the of how it's printed on the card.
Oh, there you go. So I got to search my library anyway first.
Yes. So you cannot draw three, lose three, and then search and put a card on top. It has to be the way the text appears on the card, so top down.
There is a theme for me moving forward a little bit, not for the whole rest of the show. But for the couple other categories, I'm looking at my notes here.
You don't have much?
I got one card for each category. For instance, the red category, my only pick was Terror of the Peaks.
Ah, yes, that reprint as well.
That's a reprint, baby. In standard. Yeah. In standard. What were they thinking? Do you want me to read it? I'll read it. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I read my reprint. You can read
yours. Yeah. That's fair. All right. So let me get all the way down to the T's here. Terror of the Peaks. If you don't know, you're about to know. Two red, three other on a 5/4 body. Number one, it's flying. Number two, spells your opponent's cast that target this creature costs an additional three life to cast. And then lastly, whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, this creature deals damage equal to that creature's power to any target. Now, if you're able to put the lines together, this is a win condition.
Yes.
This is a win condition right here, you know. I think the one thing it's missing is haste. What'd you pick for red?
So, one of the cards that I picked, so Terror of the Peaks kind of has a almost like a hidden combo with the set. It's not really a combo, but an interaction that you should consider. One of the cards that I picked is Slick Shot Show Off, which is kind of tough to say. It is rare, but it's also rare that it is a red creature with flying that is not a dragon or phoenix. Creature Bird Wizard, one in a red for a 1/2 flying haste. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, Slick Shot Show Off. I almost messed it up. Slick Shot Show Off gets +2/+0 until end of turn. It has plot for one in a red. So you can cast it as regular for one in a red, or you can plot it for one in a red. So let's say, you know, we're on turn five or something or whatever. I want to plot it. The next turn, I'm going to cast Terror of the Peaks. Then I'm going to cast my plotted side slick shot show off. I want to keep saying sidekick. Slick Shot Show Off. So I'm going to cast it from the plot zone from exile, which immediately Terror of the Peaks is going to trigger because a creature is entering the battlefield. So that's one little thing in interaction that you want to keep in mind to where it might be good to plot some creatures.
Well, I think it's going to be
have Terror of Peaks coming up.
I think it's going to be an excellent suggestion to plot as many things as you can, because if you look at the, what was it called? Foretell, right? There was a foretell cost, and then there was a foretell casting cost later if you did foretell it. And I just think that no matter what the plot cost is, the ability to cast it for free is just a no-brainer.
Yeah,
you know, that's my opinion, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you are, if you do plot it and put it in exile, you're really not taking any action that turn. Like, you might be leaving yourself open and spending a mana seemingly on nothing. But like I said, you can set yourself up for bigger turns if you cast the plotted side slick shot show off from Tear of the Peaks. You get some extra damage in there. And then, of course, if you cast another non-creature spell, it gets plus two, plus zero. This bird wizard has a haste, so it'll immediately benefit off of that.
Down by the seashore with Sally.
Yeah, I'm done talking about this card. I can't say it anymore.
What was your next one?
Oh, Lord, it has more S's. Scorching Shot. This is an uncommon, my only uncommon out of all the cards. Scorching Shot, red. It deals 5 damage to target creature. That's it. So it's for 2 mana, dealing 5 sorcery, hard red. Yeah. I don't know how good this card is, but I think it's strong enough to where, I mean, it can kill a Sheldred. It can take out some other big.
And that's creatures. Important. That's important because Sheldred's still important in standard and modern, you know.
And my last red card, Hell to Pay. X red sorcery. Hell to Pay deals X damage to target creature. Only creature. Create a number of tapped treasure tokens equal to the amount of excess damage dealt to the creature this way. So if X is 4 and you're dealing damage to a 2/2 creature, your quote unquote overkill or excess is 2 damage. That extra 2 damage will convert into tapped treasure tokens. So it's basically an investment. Pay the mana now, and then you get treasure tokens. It's sort of like a ramp-ish effect, maybe. But I think it's a pretty powerful card.
So, in green, did you pick more than one?
I did.
Okay. I only picked one. It's an uncommon. It starts with the letter S. It's got multiple S's in it. It's called Spinewood's Armadillo. It's an uncommon. But hear me out. Okay? Green... 4 other, 7/7 body. So right there, an uncommon card, 6 mana, 7/7 body. It has reach. It has ward 3. And believe it or not, it's got another one, Onique. It's got 1 green, 1 other. Discard this, right? So you got to get it from your hand. Search your library for a basic land card or a desert card. Reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle. You gain 3 life. I like that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if it's stuck in your hand, how much was the mana cost? Like 7?
6 to hard cast the creature, which 6 is mana reach. Total? Yeah, for, 6 mana for the creature, which is reach, ward 3, 7/7.
Yeah.
Or you can discard it for a green and one other. Get a basic land or desert card, you know, and then you gain 3 life.
Yeah, I mean, if it's stuck in your hand. Like, if you're stuck on 3 mana, do not hesitate to just get rid of this card, get your land, gain some life, and keep playing the game. Like, exactly. If you sit on it, you're probably going to lose.
Yeah, I like the card, though. I like the card.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. I mean, the versatility is pretty good. Now, there's one category here, multicolored. I only picked one of them.
Oh, I got a few greens.
But yeah, go ahead with your greens. I'm sorry. Go ahead with your greens.
Bristly Bill Spine Sower. At a glance, I read this card as Billy Crystal. Bristly Bill Spine Sower. 2 in a green. Keep saying this wrong. 1 in a green for 2/2 legendary creature plant druid. It's a cactus. Landfall. Whenever land enters a battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Then you could pay 5 mana, 3 green, double the number of +1/+1 counters on each creature you control.
That's pretty sick.
This is wild.
That's pretty sick.
Next green card I got. Here's another wild one. That previous one was mythic, and so is this one. Gold Vein Hydra. Creature. Hydra, obviously. 0/0, as all Hydras usually are. Vigilance, trample, haste. Enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. When it dies, create a number of tapped treasure tokens equal to its power.
Oh, that's not bad. I was thinking, like, when it dies, created that many creatures.
That sounds like something we've had before. I mean, it's a Hydra. You can kind of predict what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Each head, in this case, each head just turns into a treasure.
Yeah.
So to speak.
The fact that it's got trample and haste is scary.
I'm going to go with one more instead of the other two green ones I have. The best creature type of all time, Rushwag.
Seriously?
Ornery Tumblewag. Creature Brushwag Mount. Everyone's dream has come true. You can mount a Brushwag, or saddle, rather. It has saddle two. So it's a two and a green for a 2/2.
Do you see where the saddle is on the picture?
It almost looks like it's a hat.
Like on his head.
It's really high on the neck.
I wouldn't want to ride a Brushwag.
Oh, I would. That guy's awesome. Brushwag is the most fearsome creature type of in existence. You know this. At the beginning of combat on your turn, put a +1/+1 encounter on target creature. This is already, you got vibes of that 1/1 creature from White Creature. I forget what it's called.
Well, there's a bunch of them, but yeah. You got Mentor too, you know.
Yeah. Hold on, let me look at this. Find this card real quick.
Oh, it gets sicker.
Luminarch Aspirant. Yeah. It's got the Luminarch Aspirant text on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever Ornery Tumblewag attacks while saddled, once again, double the number +1/+1 encounters on target creature. Like, I think this is just like a +1/+1 encounter dream. That plus Billy Crystal, whatever it's called.
Yeah. We'll just call him Billy Crystal. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a card's very powerful. And then Brushwag. Multicolor.
So multicolor, I only picked one. And I know that there's a lot of legendary creatures here. There's a lot of mythics. There's a lot of rares. You could probably sense where I'm going with this.
Well, you picked out a mythic or rare. I picked the three of them, but let me see what you got.
The only multicolor card that I picked out, in all honesty, to even have, you know, worthy of me talking about on this episode, it's called Slick Sequence. It's 1 red, 1 blue. So just, you know, is it just
one red? Uncommon, right?
Yep, correct. It's 1 red, 1 blue, and it's an instant. It does 2 damage to any target. If you've cast another spell this turn, draw a card. I like it. Maybe not the flavor text, but I like it. The flavor text reads, shooting first don't mean much if you ain't got proper follow through.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I didn't like the flavor text, but I do like the card.
Yeah, card's interesting.
So I'm sure you got a plethora of the multicolored.
Three. First one, Bonnie Paul Clear Cutter. Legendary creature, Giant Scout. For 3 green, 3 blue. So Simic Biggie. 6/5 reach. When Bonnie Paul Clear Cutter enters a battlefield, create Bow, a legendary blue ox creature token with this creature's power and toughness are each equal to the number of lands you control. Whenever you attack with anything, draw a card, then you may put a land card from your hand onto the land card from your hand or the graveyard onto the battlefield. Next one I got, where did it go? The Gitrog, Ravenous Ride.
Nice.
3 black, 3 green for 6/5 trample haste. So this is Golgari. Saddle one. Whenever the Gitrog, Ravenous Ride deals combat damage to a player, it has trample, so it could be a bit easier. You may sacrifice a creature that saddled it this turn. If you do, draw X cards, then put up to X land cards from your hand onto the battlefield tapped, where X is a sacrificed creature's power. So whatever creature is saddling this thing, it's not going to make it.
Kamikaze, right?
Yeah. And then last one, Rakdos, the Muscle. 2 black, black, red. I think all my gold creatures are 6/5. This is also 6/5 flying tramp. Whenever you sacrifice another creature, exile cards equal to the mana value of the Exile cards equal to its mana value from the top of the target player's library. I just realized it's target players. Wow.
Yeah, that's I think why I think that's yeah. There's a reason why I didn't pick that one. Until, as you're reading it, I'm like, I remember there was a reason why I didn't pick that one.
Yeah. So you can do yours or your opponent's. Until your next end step, you may play those cards and mana of any type may be spent to cast spells. Then it has another ability, sacrifice another creature, Rakdos gains indestructible until end of turn. Tap it, activate it only once each turn. So a bit of a built-in resistance there.
Now, I didn't pick anything else, apparently, is what my thoughts are, except for this other list thing that's going on.
Yes.
I mean, I could be wrong, because I didn't pick no lands, you know, and I like deserts right now. I'm in the middle of a desert right now, Onig.
You are in Arizona.
In Arizona, yeah. So, I mean, I like the whole desert thing coming out. It even almost made me want to collect this set, like one card and everything, because like, oh, wow, desert, you know, but I could have done that with Amakat and everything else. I wasn't in Arizona at the time, but at any rate, so the list I'm looking at is very small. I got 5 cards left that I'm going to talk about, and I guess they're from this other list, man.
Yeah. So about those other lists, there are bonus sheets here.
Yeah, like this is a special guest or something.
Yeah. So the more major bonus sheet is called Breaking News. All of these cards target your opponent's stuff.
Okay.
Or at least target. So the theme with these is that they're all crimes. Or they have very crime-like names. Like one card is murder, and another card is literally called crime and punishment. Another one, villainous wealth. These are all reprints. None are going to be standard legal unless you already are standard legal, like Leyline Binding and Murder. You're going to get one of these cards in every pack. Play booster, collector booster, whatever. You're going to get one of these in every pack, and you're going to be able to draft with them. So that's the Breaking News bonus sheet.
Okay.
Then the previous sets we've had, there was like the list. And the list was a semi-random reprints from other sets that just kind of was thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
The list is being replaced with 2 mini sets, I suppose. The first one is called The Big Score. This is 30 cards that initially was going to be its own set, like Aftermath after March of the Machine. But because of feedback, because the product didn't sell well, this list of 30 cards is now part of the... You have a chance to open those up in the booster packs. Not guaranteed. I think it's like 1 out of 6 chance.
So it makes me think, do you think that the bonus sheet stuff isn't planned 3 years in advance? Because you just said...
No.
Feedback from March of Machine Aftermath wasn't good. And it's like, that. I know that to be true. I sell the stuff at work, you know.
I mean, maybe the concept of them are planned in advance. Maybe some card selections are planned in advance. But
or even around that time we might be... Yeah, around that time we might be doing this. But it's, you don't think they're 3 years advance on that?
No.
Okay.
The 3 years in advance, for the most part, is really just storyline and generic, like, what does a world look like?
I think the cards in general, they already have an understanding. Like, I'm going to throw out Cryptic Coat, for example. 3 years ago, they were playtesting with it.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
And then, so the big score has 30 cards. Then there's another 10, which is something we've seen before, which is special guests. We've had this before in the previous sets. These are all reprints that have fancy border that shares the expansion symbol from the prior special guests. And these are also reprints that also have a chance to be found in play boosters. So the 10 special guests and the 30, the big score, are the cards on the list. So you have, I think it's like a 20% chance. I had the number actually exactly where to go.
Well, I personally only want to pull 5 of these.
Yeah, 20% chance to get a card from the list, which is either the big score or special guests.
So they do the same.
Always get one from breaking news.
I'm surprised it's 20% because it used to be 25%.
I forget what the odds are. They might have shifted it a little bit.
Well, of course, to less. It used to be 1 in 4, now it's 1 in 5. Because in Zendikar Rising, when they started, it was 25% chance. 1 in every 4 packs, on average.
From cards from the list?
Yeah, cards from the list. Because Zendikar Rising, I remember when they started doing set packs around that time.
Or set boosters, yeah. But those were all, but also cards from the list, those were also just like random comments that no one really cared about.
Yeah, it's true.
These are higher rarity and, streets, and more value.
Streets, I was pulling $80 cards from the list, you know, Streets of New Capenna. I wrote down 5 cards from this section.
From all the combined bonus sheets.
Just 5. I'm sure you've got about 20 of them, right?
plus
10.
12.
All right. I got a quick list. Jace Reawakened. We've already talked about that guy.
So, yeah, Jace is actually in the main set, but
okay.
I think allegedly he was going to be a part of the stuff in the vault. But
if our cards do cross a line, like that's one I picked, then probably cross it off, right?
Yeah. Jace is
a good card. I want to pull one myself. Pest Control. I picked this one because of the white weenie decks that are all over the place, man. 1 white, 1 black, sorcery speed. Destroy all non-land permanents with mana value 1 or less. You do have a way out with this. You can cycle it for 2 and draw a card, which is pretty cool.
This card's pretty powerful.
Yeah, either way, it's one that's on my hit list here. Lost Jitte. It costs 1 colorless. Legendary artifact equipment. The equip cost, believe it or not, it's only 1. Okay, this is broken as soon as it said Jitte. As soon as I saw the word Jitte, I almost had a stroke. It says, whenever a crit creature deals combat damage, put a charge counter on this. Oh, okay. I'm still reading. What's up? Remove a charge counter from this. Choose one. Now, you notice the wording on that, Monique. Okay? It didn't say during a sorcery or during your main phase or on your turn or anything. It just says, remove a charge counter from this. Choose one. Untap target land. Target creature can't block this turn. Put a +1/+1 counter on equipped creature. That, my friend, is on my hit list.
Yeah.
Sword of Wealth and Power. Is this a new sword?
Yes. This is now number 11.
This is crazy. I thought we finished the whole cycle.
Yeah, that's what we did, and then they're like, "No, let's make more."
This is the song that doesn't end. It costs 3, and to equip it, it costs 2. Equipped creature gets +2/+2, and has protection from instants and sorceries. Period. There's more here, but let me stop there for a second. Protection from instants and sorceries. Sign me up. That's your spot removal that I'm always worried about. You know
exactly.
It says whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player. Hold on. I'm already thinking that this is going to go along with a lot of cards we've already talked about on this episode. I want to make this creature unblockable, right? Whenever it deals damage to a player, create a treasure token. And when you next cast an instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may need to choose new targets for the copy. I'm sorry, but that's going with my Jace, bro. It's like, oh yeah, copy. I'm sorry. Game over. You know?
Yeah.
And the last card on my list is a hard one to pronounce. Torpor Orb. It costs 2, and it's just an artifact, so you're probably going to waste your second turn here. Creatures entering the battlefield don't cause abilities to trigger. Even if you're just putting this on your sideboard, it's very important to have this card.
This is a wonderful sideboard piece.
No, isn't it? It's like super stifle. They should have called it Stifle Orb, you know?
Yeah, stifle for creatures.
Stifle Orb.
This is a reprint from New Phyrexia. Now this is also going to be legal Pioneer.
That's crazy. Oh, that's good. And so,
none
of these I picked that you picked, apparently.
I did pick one.
Which one?
Not Torpor Orb, but I do want to make a note of it that like Torpor Orb is causing some anxiety for the Amalia combo players.
What do you mean?
In Modern.
I see. Yeah, okay.
Because it's all about ATB triggers, and then this is a combo.
Yeah, what was the one that you picked that I picked?
Las Gite.
Of course. Did it probably give you a stroke too?
No, because like the original Umezawa Gite was a of course had different abilities, which is I think is more powerful, but it also had give you two charge counters. This one just gives you one.
Yeah.
Still, they're off of the special guests. There are two cards that I'm looking forward to. One, Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah.
Which this is going to be in PAX, which means it's coming to Arena, which means I'm going to have it on my cube. Most of us know Stoneforge Mystic, and if, in case you don't, when it enters the battlefield, you may search your library for an equipment card, like the Gite, like Wealth and Power. Reveal it, put it in your hand, and shuffle. And then for one and a white and tap, you may put an equipment card from your hand onto the battlefield. So I need to do a bit of a makeover in my cube to have some sort of equipment package. And I'm probably going to run Cryptic Cloak in my cube as well.
Oh, yeah?
probably, yeah.
Stoneforge Mystic, man, as you're reading that, it's just giving me so many memories, dude, because we threw so many of them away. They were a bulk rare. They weren't even worth a buck. And at that time, if you weren't pulling Jace the Mind Sculptor, you were throwing the rest of the cards away. You know, I think Manlands at the time, you probably kept those. But if you weren't pulling Jace, dude, the rest was just bulk rares. And speaking of which, a kid came to my store the other day with his parents. And I didn't get permission to say names or nothing. And the kid goes, in his binder, he goes, I got this Jace the Mind Sculptor. And I looked at it, Onique. It's World Wake, near mint. And he tells me, he goes, I've had it for a long time. I want to trade it for a box. And I was like, dude, I can give you a bundle, you know. So I gave him a bundle card. And I ended up buying it from the store, but now I have that near mint World Wake Jace the Mind Sculptor. And it just reminded me of that when you said World Wake, when you said Stoneforge Mystic, because it
came out of World Wake.
Yeah, it came out of World Wake. But so Stoneforge Mystic.
Prismatic Vista, also from Special Guests. This is the, like how we have like the 11th sort of A and B or X or Y or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Prismatic Vista is basically your 11th fetch land. Tap, pay one life, sacrifice it, search your library for a basic land card, put it in the battlefield, then shuffle. Untapped. Yes, it only gets basic lands, but it's untapped, which is great. And this will be, of course, on my cube as well. Then the other bonus sheet from, where is it, Breaking News. Out of these 65 cards, I've picked three of them. Mana Drain.
Nice.
Which is going to be my cube now.
Oh, I can't wait to pull one.
For blue mana, counter-target spell. That just sounds like a classic counter spell. But at the beginning of your next main phase, add an amount of colorless mana equal to the spell's mana value. Then you got Reanimate, the best reanimate spell of all time, for the probably. One black mana, sorcery. Protect a creature card from a graveyard, anyone, onto the battlefield under your control, you lose life equal to its mana value. Grizzlebrand, you could do Atraxa, you could do Archon of Cruelty, like whatever you want. Just pop it under play. It's wonderful. And then the third one that I had, Path to Exile, which we actually don't have on Arena. We have Source of Plowshares, but we don't have Path to Exile, which starts out the same, one white mana, instant exile target creature, but this time this controller may search your library for a basic land card, put on battlefield, tap, and shuffle. Again, one mana unconditional removal. Did get a land in place of it, but I want Path to Exile. That's pretty powerful. And then the last sheet, I suppose, is the Breaking News stuff. Sorry, the Vault. This one, I got a few of them. Holtec Matterweaver, 2 and a white for 2/4, human artificer. When you cast a creature spell, choose one. Create a 1/1 colorless gnome artifact creature token, or create a token that's a copy of target artifact token you control.
I always love cards like that.
Yeah, it's a kind of like an army in the can sort of thing.
Yeah.
Harvester of Misery. 3 black-black for a 5/4 menace. When it enters the battlefield, other creatures gave -2/-2 until end of turn. This includes your own. And then one in a black to discard it. Target creature gets -2/-1 until end of turn. So early it's removal, late it's a bomb. Molten duplication. One in a red. Create a token that's a copy of target artifact or creature you control, except as an artifact in addition to its other types. Against haste until end of turn, sacrifice it at end of turn.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And then Jite, you already covered. And then I got two more, and then I'm done talking. Vault-Born Tyrant. 5 green-green for a 6/6 trample dinosaur. When Vault-Born Tyrant or another creature with power 4 or greater enters a battlefield on your control, you gain 3 life and draw a card. That just rewards you for playing creatures. When it dies, if it's not a token, make it a token. Create a token that's a copy of it, except it's an artifact in addition to other types. So you basically have to kill this thing twice.
Yeah.
And the very last one, maybe a little bit lower on the power level, but I think is interesting. Legion Extruder. When in a red for an artifact, when it enters the battlefield, it does 2 damage to any target, so it's a shock. 2 mana, tap, sacrifice another artifact, create a 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature token. So you can kind of turn like treasure tokens or blue tokens into 3/3 creatures.
We talked about a lot of cards this episode.
Yes, that was and a lot.
There's a few cards we didn't talk about, so let me go ahead and get this out of the way before we wrap things up. Go to your local game store this weekend. There's going to be a big pre-release for Outlaws of Thunder Junction. Don't forget, though, they usually give out promos, right? And I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget, Onik. And there's an advertisement for it somewhere. And anyway, pre-releases, I think, for WPN retailers, okay? They want you to bring a friend, a new-to-Magic friend with you. And I think this is hard because when I tell people at my store, hey, man, bring a friend, they're like, well, they're already here, or none of my friends want to play Magic, right? So I know it's harder than, you know, it's like things are easier said than done, right? Yeah. But they have a promo, bring a new friend with you, a new-to-Magic friend is the words that they're using. And for the pre-release, you'll both get, if you sign up with the Wizards account, you know, the companion app, you'll both get copies of Transmutation Font, which I'm fond of. It costs 5 colorless. It's an artifact. You tap it. You can just create a your choice of a blood token, a clue token, or a food token, which is kind of cool for commander decks. Or you can do 3 colorless and tap. Sacrifice 3 artifact tokens with different names. Search your library for an artifact card. Put it in the field. Then shuffle. Activate only as a sorcery. And the other one is Cultivate. And this is a secret lair version, just very beautiful. So keep that in mind that, you know, you want to get these promos, and it's going to be hard, Onik. I know it's going to be hard, but you know, I'm going to bend over backwards, man, because, you know, I think just like Dungeons and Dragons, this is a guidebook. This is a guide, and it's not set in concrete. Yeah. So there's probably going to be other ways that we'll be able to give these out, because I cannot see Wizards giving me like 30 or 40 or even 50 of these, and I'm not going to have that many people bring new people in. I just know I'm not. Do you have any thoughts on that right there?
Yeah, no, I need to sweet talk some friends into coming over so I could just get their stuff.
Yeah, warp their minds into Magic. They're like, yeah, bro, we're done hanging out. Like, just consider this the end of our relationship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's harder than it's said, you know, than it sounds. I mean, seriously, do you have anything to say about it at all? I mean,
it's a good promotion.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Cultivate is something that a lot of new players enjoy. I mean, I enjoy the card too.
We probably already got 12 copies of this card already, this secret lair.
Yeah. But Transmutation Font is also a very interesting card.
That's the only way you're going to get this secret lair version, which is a beautiful card, beautiful artwork. Probably the easiest way you're going to get a copy of that card. You know,
the artwork. So again, a little bit in the lore, like looking at the card, it looks like it has that orange reddish line going across and the yellow ones in the back. Mm-hmm. That is a bit reminiscent of Dark Steel.
Yeah.
Remember how some cars with that had indestructible, they had the little line around them?
Yeah.
It kind of feels like that. And the skull of this object, I think it's a skull of a Fomori.
Which is what language are you speaking? It looks like a ram or something. Yeah.
I think it's a Fomori.
Fomori.
Which is like a like massive beast type creatures that
invaded planes. Are those in the United States of America at all? Or no?
No, what? Fomori? No. It's lore. It's just like.
Oh, creature. Okay. Got it. I've never heard of it, man. I mean, of course, I played Dungeons & Dragons. I've heard of weird things like Gith Yankees and kobolds. But what'd you call this?
Fomori. Fomori.
Fomori. That's cute.
Like, there are two cards that have Fomori. Actually, now three that have Fomori in a name. Hmm. But
this one's not one of them.
No, but maybe that's a thing for another time. Actually, let me... Yeah, that's a thing for another time.
All right, guys. Well, it's going to do it for this week's episode. And keep an ear out for the next episode. We've got a treat for you listeners. We've actually contacted an artist, Ruth Thompson. And she went over to North Valley Games Mesa location last weekend. And I heard it was a blast. So I can't wait to talk to her about that. Maybe we can ask him important questions and get to know her a little bit better. We've never had her on the podcast before. So I'm looking forward to that. Maybe I can even reach out to Peddler and see what he's up to on that day.
Oh, okay, cool.
And see if he wants to come on, because I know he loves artists just as much as I do. And he wants to get in their head and pick their brain sometimes, you know. But Peddler, he said he'll come back on the show and do that every once in a while. Just give him the heads up. So I will. So that's something to look forward to, guys. And as always, we appreciate you guys taking your time to listen to today's podcast. And if I'm smart, you'll probably listen to multiple podcasts today. And again, like I told you on the last episode, starting every Monday, we're going to record and they're put out. So they won't be stacked on top of each other anymore. And until next time, keep spell slinging.